Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live 12 arrangement and mixing lesson for drum and bass, outro design, and I want to set the mindset right away. A great DNB outro is not faded out and call it a day. It's a DJ-friendly mix tool that still feels like part of the song. Your job is to hand the next track a clean runway, without your tunes suddenly feeling unfinished or awkward. We're going to build a 32 to 64 bar outro in the arrangement view, using only Ableton Live 12 stock devices. The goals are simple. Clean bars to blend, energy that keeps rolling without clutter, a clear emotional downshift, and club translation, meaning sub-discipline and clean top end. Here's the structure we're aiming for at a typical 174 BPM. First 16 bars. It's still the groove, but simplified. Less mid-bass chaos, fewer surprise hits. Bars 17 to 32, the DJ mix zone. This is the money. Predictable kick, snare, and timekeeping hats, with bass reduced to stable sub and minimal movement. And optionally, bars 33 to 48, a sparse tail, maybe an Atmos texture or a little vocal stab that teases without taking over. Optionally, bars 49 to 64, a utility tail, clean drums and maybe filtered bass or sub only, just to maximize usability. Along the way, we'll set up an outro control workflow so you can perform the outro with macros and then fine-tune automation after. Step 0, setup and reference. Loop the section where your outro will live. Start with 32 bars. Even if you later decide to do 48 or 64, a 32-bar design forces you to make clean decisions. Now drop a reference drum and bass track onto an audio track. If it's getting weird timing-wise, disable warp for the reference so you're not fighting Ableton's guess. You're not copying the track, you're stealing the structure. Listen for three things: when the bass simplifies, when the tops thin out, and whether the last 16 is basically drums only. While you're here, place locator markers in arrangement. Name them clearly. Outro start, DJ zone, tail, end. This sounds basic, but it's a pro move because it keeps you phrase locked when you start automating and muting elements. Quick coach note, DJs listen for where the one is more than anything else. Commit to 8, 16, and 32 bar phrasing with obvious downbeats. If you want to get clever, do it inside the phrase, not on the boundary. Step 1. Build an outro control macro rack. Make a new MIDI track and name it outro control. You don't need an instrument. Drop an audio effect rack onto it. Yes, an audio rack on a MIDI track. This is just a macro container. Now go into map mode and map the parameters you'll automate across your groups. The idea is that instead of drawing a million separate automation lanes immediately, you can ride these macros like a performance, record the automation, and then refine. Here's a strong macro set for DNB outros. Macro 1. Bass LPF. Map it to an auto filter frequency on your bass group. Macro 2. Drum dirt. Map it to drum bus drive on your drum group. Macro 3. Reverb send. Map it to return a send for a few selected elements, like snare or a vocal stab. Macro 4. Delay throw. Map it to return B send, again on a selected element. Macro 5. Top roll off. Map it to an EQH shelf on the drum group. Macro 6. Width down. Map it to utility width on your music or Atmos group. Macro 7. Sub level. Map it to utility gain on the sub track. Macro 8. Master safety. Light touch. Limiter ceiling or glue threshold. Just enough to keep accidents under control. Teacher tip. Don't map everything everywhere. Map intentionally. For example, if you map reverb send to every track, your throw becomes a wash. Choose one or two targets that act like signposts. Step 2. Identify mix critical elements, the structural pillars. In DJ-friendly outros, kick and snare are sacred. Keep them consistent for at least 16 bars. Your hat pattern or ride can thin out gradually, but there should be at least one timekeeper that stays locked, like a tight closed hat on eighth notes. Sub should be stable. Mid-bass or reese should simplify early. FX and fills should become less surprising. In the last 16 bars, avoid new complicated fills every 2 bars. The DJ wants predictability, not plot twists. And here's the psychology. Design the last 16 bars to be mix intolerant. Imagine another track's hats and bass arriving. Your outro needs predictable transients and a stable low end so the incoming tune can take over without fighting. Also, avoid false drop messaging. Any big riser, escalating snare roll, or widening that feels like a build can confuse the blend. In an outro, the energy curve should read downhill even if the groove stays strong. Step 3. Build the 32-bar template. We'll do this in chunks. Bars 1 to 8. Still rolling. Keep full drums but remove one busy percussion layer. Maybe you have an extra break with ghost hits, or a secondary top loop that adds clutter. Pick one and either mute it or drop it down significantly. On the bass side, reduce automation complexity. If your Reese has a wild LFO or lots of movement, freeze it a bit. We're starting the calm down process without killing the vibe. On the drum group, a solid stock chain, drum bus with drive around 2-5, crunch kept subtle, boom controlled. Then EQ 8 with a gentle dip around 300-500 Hz if it's boxy. Subtle, 1 or 2 dB is plenty. On the bass group, put auto filter on a low pass mode, like LP24. Start it open, around 18-20K, so it's not really filtering yet. The key is, it's ready to automate later. Bars 9-16, clear the runway. This is where you make the first big DJ-friendly move. Pull back the mid-bass layer. You can hard mute it at bar 9 if you want a clear change. Or, more elegant, slowly low-pass it down into the 4-8K range over these 8 bars, so it gets less competitive with incoming cymbals and synths. Also reduce crash and impact frequency. If you're hitting big cymbals a lot, thin them out. Save one intentional hit for a phrase boundary if you want, like bar 17. A really practical move here, replace a complex bass phrase with a simpler repeating 2-bar pattern. DJs love repetition during blends, and it stops your low end from doing unpredictable things under their incoming bass line. Bars 17-32, the DJ mix zone. This is the part you should be able to hand to a DJ with confidence. Kick steady. Snare on 2 and 4, or whatever your track's consistent backbone is, but do not change the feel here. Choose one timekeeper hat, closed hat, shaker, filtered ride one. Keep it tight. Bass becomes sub plus minimal mid, or even sub only for the last 8 bars. Avoid unexpected stop-start edits. Avoid a massive uplifter that suggests a drop is coming. Keep it honest. If you want a stock chain suggestion for your sub track, EQ 8 first with a steep high pass at 20-25 Hz to remove rumble. If it's booming, a small dip around 50-80 Hz, maybe 2 dB. Then saturator with soft clip-on. Drive 1-4 dB just enough harmonics, so the sub reads on smaller systems. Then glue compressor, gentle, ratio 2-1, attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto and only 1-2 dB of gain reduction. And if you're going beyond 32 bars, your optional tail can keep a minimal drum loop running, while you fade the musical elements into texture. For most DJ-oriented DNB, keeping drums running longer is usually the better choice. Step 4, transitions with automation. The professional polish. We're not fading out. We're designing an exit. First, bass filtering and stabilization. On the bass group auto filter, automate from open, around 18K, down to maybe 2-6K over 16 bars. That's a great clear space move, because it removes aggression and detail without collapsing the low end instantly. If your Reese or bass layer is wide, automate utility width down. For example, 120% down to 70% over the last 16. This reduces facey smear in the low mids and makes room for the incoming track. In clubs, this matters a lot. Second, top-end management for blend clarity. On your drum group, automate an EQ 8 high shelf. Start at 0 dB at around 10K, and move it down by 2-5 dB by the last 8 bars. You'll still feel the groove, but you're leaving air for the next track's cymbals. Extra trick if shelving the whole drum bus feels too dull. Instead, automate a narrowish bell cut around 7-10K, 1-4 dB. That can tame fizz while keeping perceived brightness. Third, reverb and delay throws that stay clean. Set up Return as reverb. Use hybrid reverb on a plate or hall. Decay around 2.5 to 5.5 seconds. Pre-delay 20-40 milliseconds. Then put EQ 8 after the reverb. High pass it around 200-350 Hz. Low pass it around 8-12K. This is non-negotiable if you want clean mix-outs. Low-end reverb bloom will wreck your clarity. Return B, echo. Set it to a quarter note or an eighth note dotted. Feedback maybe 20-40%. Filter it. High pass around 250 Hz. Low pass 6-10K. Keep modulation subtle. Now the automation move. At the end of bar 16 or bar 32, spike the send for a single beat. Then pull it back immediately. That creates a cue moment without washing the next phrase. Coach-level discipline. Put a limiter at the end of each return. Yes, on the returns. Ceiling around minus 1 dB. It's not for loudness. It's insurance, because a big throw can clip your master when you get excited with send automation. Fourth, control drum fill strategy. Fills should announce sections, not ruin mixability. End of bar 16. Do a micro fill. Maybe half a bar. End of bar 32. you can do a slightly bigger one, then snap back to the grid. If you're using a brake layer that smears, put a gate on it to tighten the tails. Adjust threshold until it snaps clean, and keep the release short so it doesn't blur the groove. Step 5. Make it DJ-proof with practical checks. Check 1. Last 16 bars as solo drums. Does it groove without bass? It should. If it doesn't, your drum economy is off. You remove the wrong layers. Keep backbone and timekeeper. Reduce decoration. Check 2. Substability. Put spectrum on the master and watch the 40 to 80 Hz region. You're looking for consistency, not random spikes from automation or note length changes. A nasty, but effective check. Temporarily add a utility on your sub and push the gain up by 6 dB while monitoring quietly. If the low end suddenly feels uneven, your note lengths, decays, or sidechain timing are inconsistent, fix that now, because on a big system it'll be 10 times more obvious. Check 3. Mono. Put utility on the master, set width to 0% for a moment. If the low end disappears or changes dramatically, something in your bass layering is too wide or facey. In an outro especially, keep the low end centered and dependable. Check 4. Transient alignment. If you layered kicks or snares, consolidate the last 32 bars and zoom in. Make sure the transient peaks line up, especially if any layer is warped or has look-ahead processing. Tiny misalignments can make the mix zone feel soft or flammed. Now let's cover common mistakes so you can avoid them. Don't add too much new content in the outro. New lead riff at bar 25? DJs hate it because it hijacks the blend. Don't let bass get more complex. Outros should reduce motion. Don't use unfiltered reverb. It clouds the mix out. Don't do random fills every two bars. It makes beat matching chaotic. And don't hard mute elements without a transition cue. If you remove something big, do it on a phrase boundary and support it with a small effects marker. Now a few advanced variations if you want to level this up. 1. The A/B mix out. Create two different endings after the main outro start. Ending A is clean. Drums plus stable sub. Minimal ear candy. Ending B keeps the exact same drum grid, but swaps in a tasteful atmos or vocal tail. DJs can choose, and you can even use one for a DJ version and one for a streaming version. 2. Polyrhythm illusion without ruining blend. This audio version is shortened for playback.